above all powers, above all kings, above all nations and all created things, above all wisdom and all the weight of men. You were here before the world began. Above all kings, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Our scripture comes from Isaiah 60th chapter, 1st through the 3rd verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. For look, darkness covers the earth, and total darkness the peoples. But the Lord will shine over you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your radiance.
Thank you. I remember reveille. They didn't use a trumpet in the Navy. They used a whistle, a bosun's whistle, it was called. There you go. Sound about like that. Even now. You know, I want to pull those covers up around me, and I don't want to get up. I never liked reveille. It was my least favorite, one of my least favorite aspects of the Navy. But it was a needed summons to the duties and challenges of the new day. And when I came to know the Lord, it had a different meaning. It was like, hey, this is a new day. What is God going to do today and in my life and through me? And so it had a change of meaning to me. And I hope it has to you. Because here is his summons, if you will, to rise and shine. Because the light has come, or will come from the perspective of this prophecy in Isaiah. Well, what can we learn from it? Well, first of all, we can learn from the arrival of the light. Arise, shine, it says there. For your light is come, has come, and the glory of the Lord shines over you. And I want us to think about that. I want us to think about its realization. Matthew says, quoting from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And on those living in the land of the shadow of death, light has dawned. And John, the writer of the Gospel of John, the Apostle John, said about Jesus, he said, this is the true light who gives light to every man. And he was coming into the world. And you know that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So how can we not read this and think about the coming of Christ? The New Testament writers, Matthew especially, ties this in, the coming of Christ, with these prophecies in the Old Testament. Of course, this is not one of the more specific prophecies that has to do, you know, where you just can't hardly question, such as Isaiah 7:20, I believe, where it says the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah is a very evangelical book. It depicts and prophesies of the coming of this one who is the light of the world. Certainly Isaiah 53, where it describes the cross of Jesus and how he bore our sins on that cross. Almost like a picture of the cross there in Isaiah 53. So here's the realization of that light. That is, the coming of Christ was the fulfillment of this prophecy. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Does it not call us to rise up and follow him, to let his light shine in our hearts? Paul used that imagery. He said, the light of Christ has shone in our hearts that we might shed it forth to others, or words to that effect. So here's the realization of that light. It's certainly the reveille, as the coming of the dawn is a signal for us to be up and going. So the coming of Jesus beckons us to rise and shine. Now, certainly we can think of the shepherds in the field and how they receive this reveille. I don't know that they were sleeping. I don't know that they were. But maybe there was a sameness about their lives. Maybe even a little dullness. And maybe they wondered, well, you know, is God really there? I see these beautiful stars. You know, we live in a part of the country where we can actually see the stars, which we, for many years, couldn't. We didn't even know they were there. When we lived down in L.A., the L.A. area, and before that in the Chicago area, and it was, I mean, you never see the sun in the wintertime. And it's certainly not the stars, or very seldom. Nothing like here. Well, imagine those shepherds, seeing those stars, and then seeing this light from heaven, and hearing the voices of angels, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and how they told them to go to Bethlehem, and there they would see a babe in a manger. And I'm sure they didn't have to look far. I think they knew exactly the stable that the angels were directing them to. They were from that area, of course, so they didn't need a map. But they needed a reveille, and I think that here is a reveille for us. I think Christmas is like reveille. It's a call for us to rise and shine and follow the one who is the light of the world. The hymn writer wrote, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. And so Christmas marks the arrival of this light into the world. Too many Christians live in the artificial lights of this world. And you know, we seem to have this almost obsession with tanning parlors. And maybe it's this hunger that God has built in us for light. And at this season of the year, of course, when the days are short and the nights are long, we need His light to shine in our lives. So it's reveille. But also, here we have its responsibility. The responsibility that we have in response to this arrival of the light. We are to rise and shine, aren't we? Paul writes that we are to be children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Now, certainly if Paul wrote that of his generation, we'd probably have to say, well, we're crookeder and depraveder. Maybe not depraveder, but you get the idea. More depraved. There you go. Whoever said it, you get an A today. Just tell me afterward. That's our responsibility, isn't it? To rise and shine. To be lights in this world. Didn't Jesus say, you are the light of the world? He said that to Peter, the other disciples. I mean, you know, Peter's enough just to make you kind of shake your head. Well, what was he thinking? He's a light bulb that's gone out. He saw what Peter could become. And he sees what we can become. We need to let our light shine for him, don't we? And that means in our actions. There shouldn't be any duplicity or hypocrisy in our lives. We should be, like it says here, children of God without fault. And let our light shine for Him. That means we tell others about Him. The title of our Lighting Moon emphasis, Go Tell. We're to tell. Go tell it on the mountain. I think we've received about $315. We'll have to make sure, but we're not sure exactly, but we certainly have all of the gifts that have been given toward the Lighting Moon offering. But we're well short of our goal. I think our goal is $1,200. So on that tree back there, we're going to put a Marlene's doing this. She's going to put a little stocking to represent each $25 gift that's given. Is that right? You don't have to give in $25 increments, but for every $25 that we receive, you'll see stockings go on the tree back there. And just to encourage us to think about missions. This is our duty, but our privilege, our joy to tell others about Jesus. Go tell. Because of the arrival of the light. Because of the antithesis of the light. I'm going to make sure I pronounce that. Antithesis. You know what an antithesis means? It means what's the opposite of the light? Well, obviously darkness. Here it says, for look, darkness covers the earth and total darkness the peoples. But the Lord will shine upon you and His glory will appear over you. Now, if Christ had not come, I can't even imagine how dark this world would be. It's pretty dark now. It's a pretty bleak time in which we live. I made the mistake of listening to the news this morning. And, it can give you kind of a negative slant on things. You can think, well, you know, if all that's wrong with the world, I want to get off. The Lord can put it right. We live in darkness, yes. But He is the light. And He wants to shine in our hearts, and He wants to shine through our lives to others. Here it says, darkness covers the earth. And of course, darkness is the opposite of the light. Astronomers tell us that there are places in the universe so distant from the stars and galaxies that there's no light that reaches there. I can't even imagine that. That's how vast our universe is. And maybe it gives some understanding to what the Bible says about those who are cast into outer darkness. We don't know where that is, but God has that place in the universe. I certainly wouldn't want to be there. I wouldn't want to live there. But a lot of people are living in darkness today. And a lot of people are headed to that place of eternal darkness. And that's why we need to, first of all, let the light into our lives. Let it shine in. Let Christ into our lives. And then to let His light shine through us because of the darkness. But also because of the degradation. Here it says, total darkness, darkness. These are images in the Bible for the sin and degradation of this world. What God didn't create it to be this way. We've certainly seen it in recent years and in the decline of morality in our nation. Watching TV, you just have to shake your head and sometimes turn it off because it's so bad. Degradation. Again, God wants to shine His light in us. He calls us to that life where we are transparent, where we let His light shine through us to others. Because so many are living that life of degradation. And God wants to deliver us. I believe this is the message here and throughout the Bible, that God wants to shine His light, not just in our lives, but in the lives of all who will receive that light. And so it is our duty again to go and tell and to let our light shine at this Christmas season. You know, a lot of people like to, you know, light up their houses and kind of let their light shine that way. Well, you know, that's good. And I think it can draw attention to what the meaning, perhaps what the meaning of the season is, especially something like this. But we need to light up, let our lives light up, don't we? And we need to be like that Christmas tree back there. We need to be letting our light shine for Jesus. Here it says, nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your radiance. And so here is the attraction, if you will, of that light. It's a universal attraction, a universal appeal. As a beautiful sunrise after a long dark night draws our attention and gives hope and cheer. So this sunrise, if you will, the day star arising, the Lord Jesus Christ coming, draws many nations to it. We're all familiar with the visit of the wise man to the manger. I watched a very fine film. I hope to maybe show it New Year's Eve. It's Orville and Karen loaned it to me. Diane, you probably have seen it. The Star of Bethlehem. Really fascinating how it shows the exact time of the visit of the wise men written in the stars. Just going back, kind of rolling back time. You know, God created this universe with an amazing consistency. And you'll have to come and see it. But it has a universal appeal. This coming of the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. What, did you know that in places like Japan, where most people are not Christians, of course, they celebrate Christmas? Many people celebrate Christmas not even knowing really what it's all about. But there's some kind of a kind of appeal to it that nothing else, no other holiday seems to have. I think it's because of this coming of the light of the world, has a universal appeal. The kings, the three, you know, we picture three. There may not have been, there may have been more than three. But the three wise men who came and visited Jesus were from a distant country. Really the first fruits of the Gentiles coming to Christ. Again, the missionary implications we can't ignore. That we need to take this gospel to the ends of the earth. It has a universal appeal. It has an unusual allure. People are drawn to the light. And there is an attraction to Jesus unlike any other. He's beautiful. And if you've never come to know Him, then you don't really understand that. But if you'll put your trust in Him and realize that He died on the cross for you, you'll find that He is the most beautiful person in God's universe. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He did it all and continues to do all for us. There is an unveiled awakening, like the dawn after a long dark night. I want to read to you in closing. And this is by Alexander McLaren, one of my favorite old-time preachers. I don't remember him. He lived in the 19th century. But he wrote this about this. These things that we've been talking about. He said, so, men and brethren, and that's everybody, of course, do you keep near, he wrote kind of old-fashioned, but he said, do you keep near your Master and live close by His side till you are drenched and saturated with His glory and all your cold vapors turned into visible divinity and manifested Jesus. Keep near to Him. As long as a bit of scrap iron touches a magnet, it is a magnet. As soon as the contact is broken, it ceases to attract. If you live in the full sunshine of Christ and have Him not merely playing upon the surfaces of your mind, but sinking deep down into it and transforming your whole being, then some men will, as they look at you, be filled with strange longings and will say, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. So may you live. So may you and I live like the morning star, which from its serene altitudes, touched into radiance by the sun unseen from the darkened plains, prophesies its rising to a sleeping world and is content to be lost in the luster of that unsetting light.
This night to come, Emmanuel, God is with us. We sing with the angels that love has arrived, the gift of this this Christmas night of miracles, on this Christmas night of joy, we rejoice that heaven has brought us our Lord and Savior of life on this Christmas night. We finally have found the source of our hope, Messiah and our Redeemer. This baby that's born to us is King of Kings, the reason creation sings. On this Christmas night of miracles, on this Christmas night of joy, we rejoice that heaven has brought us our Lord and Savior of light on this Christmas night. On this night of peace on earth, our hope share the spirit of this season of life. On this Christmas night of miracles, on this Christmas night of joy, we rejoice that heaven Christmas night, on this Christmas.